We'll talk a little Red Sox as we're joined by our friend Sean McAdam of Mass Live. Hello there, Sean.
Hello there, Rich and Carrie. How are you?
We're great. Nice to have you back on one last time in this setting.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm joining many, many others, Rich, in bemoaning the loss of the show. Not even living in Central Maine and having access to it on a daily basis, I'm sure the loss is being felt even on a much bigger scale by people that have come to keep the show as their companion for several years. I've always looked forward to coming on as a guest, and it's a great loss for everyone involved, and I'm saddened by it, but I'm happy that I get to speak to you one last time here and for all the times we've spent together.
Well, I appreciate that. Always have loved having you on. And we know we're doing a podcast. That's for certain. We'll start a weekly podcast sometime in January after a much needed break. And then still a possibility of maybe some weekend radio somewhere in the future. But won't be doing it every day. And I'm kind of okay with that, too, because it's been a long time, 3,300 shows, doing it every day. It's like covering a team through the course of a long baseball season. Even when you've got a day off, there's no day off.
Yeah, I know the feeling, and I know the amount of time and dedication it takes and the amount of time you have to spend off the air to get ready for the show on a daily basis. So I'm sure that the break will be a welcome one for you, but that doesn't help all the rest of us who will miss it.
Well, let's talk a little Red Sox and find out what's going on. It's been it's been a busier offseason than we've been accustomed to. Let's start with the pitching, the addition of Walker Buehler. Does that pretty much solidify the rotation, and do you think they're done with the search for starting pitchers?
Yeah, I would think so. We had Craig Breslow available to us on a Zoom call earlier today, and he basically said that they were in pretty good shape in terms of the rotation when you think about the addition of Crochet and Buehler, and in the second half, perhaps Patrick Sandoval added to the return of Giolito and Houck and Bayo and Crawford. That gives them 8 or 9 or 7 or 8 starters, and then you start thinking about Criswell and Fitz and some others who might be available when the inevitable injuries happen. So I think the rotation's in pretty good shape. I think they've upgraded it. Biggest part, of course, is getting Crochet, a guy who has the ability to be a number one and be that front of the rotation guy that they've obviously lacked the last few years. So I would say the roster building part of the rotation is probably complete.
Do you think we'll see them try and sign Crochet to an extension before the season gets going?
I would expect so. I mean, they have time, obviously. He's under control for 2 more years. So there isn't that real hard and fast deadline, but I would think you would want to get that done and taken care of so that, the prospects that you gave up to get this guy are not for a 2-year rental, but rather for someone who's going to be your number one starter for a number of years, whether they extend him 4, 5, 6 years, who knows what the specifics may be, but I've got to believe that that's the plan. The exact timeline is probably still to be determined, but to me, you can't get started too early on that.
I look at the Walker Buehler signing, and I think for what's essentially qualifying offer money, that's a heck of a deal when you see what's being paid to Corbin Burnes, who's shown a decrease in velocity the last couple of years, and a 6-year $35 million a year commitment. No thanks. I'm good with him going somewhere else.
Yeah, I like Buehler too. In fact, it's one of the things I advised them to do. I'm sure it was not anything they read from me, but I thought it would make sense at the start of the offseason to get a number one guy, be that, you know, Freed or Burns or somebody like that, or as it turned out, Crochet, and then have Buehler be the second edition. I think he slots in nicely. There's not a whole lot of risk on a one-year deal. If he pitches well and is eager to go back to the West Coast or get the kind of long-term commitment that maybe the Red Sox aren't willing to make, they can, at the end of the day, give him a qualifying offer of their own and pick up a draft pick from him. So I think it's a good value move for them and someone who can help them in 2025.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. So is the next priority getting that right-handed bat? And boy, some of them off the table already. Teoscar Hernandez, is Alex Bregman a legitimate target for them?
He's certainly a target. How hard they're pushing seems to be of some question. It looks like the Tigers are coming up on the rail here with an aggressive offer to him. There's a connection there, obviously, with A.J. Hinch as the Tigers manager, who also managed Bregman at the start of his career. So that makes some sense. I wrote in Dallas during the winter meetings that there was some divide internally over how good a fit Bregman was, with Alex Cora being a strong proponent of getting him. They worked together in 2017 when Cora was bench coach there. He absolutely wants him. I've heard from people that that Breslow is not quite as gung-ho. Whether that changes or not in time to pull this one out of the fire and keep him from Detroit and get him signed here, we'll know, I guess, in the next week or two. But he looks to be the best option out there. I thought Hernandez was the guy they should have gone harder for, realizing that Teoscar wanted to, his first priority was to go back to L.A., which you can understand. You're basically guaranteed to go to the postseason every year with them, given the stacked roster they have. Who wouldn't love playing in L.A. and being part of that team? But with the Dodgers balking at some of the money, I thought there was an opening for the Red Sox to come in and be aggressive, and they obviously didn't see it that way. I think they'll rue that decision going forward. But, yeah, it looks as if Bregman is probably the best, certainly the best free agent bat out there. Whether there's a trade to be made, who knows? But they certainly have to get somebody to balance that lineup.
Well, who might be a plan B if they can't get Bregman?
I'm not sure I see an obvious one, Rich. I mean, you've got you've got Santander as a switch hitting power bat, but not a very good outfielder. He's a little older at 31, I think. On the free agent front, you know, they've been linked to Randall Grichuk, but to me, that's more of a platoon situation. Where either he could platoon in right with Abreu or platoon at DH with Yoshida, but not deliver you the kind of production that certainly Hernandez could or even that Bregman could. So there's a big step down after you look at the top couple of guys there.
And you mentioned Yoshida with that big contract. It would appear they've, I don't want to say stuck with him. He is a decent ball player, maybe not worth what they're paying him, but having him there every day really limits the flexibility of your lineup.
Yeah, it does. I mean, people talk about five-tool players. I'm afraid that Yoshida is pretty much a one-tool guy, and that is his bat-to-ball skills. He makes contact, doesn't strike out a lot, will take the walk, but he's not a good outfielder. Yeah, he doesn't deliver the kind of power that you normally associate with the DH, and he's not he's certainly not a good base runner. So it's limited value of singles and doubles and getting on base a little bit, and it's not worth, you know, the kind of money they're paying him, as you suggested. But until he's healthy and until and unless they're willing to take some money back to facilitate a trade, he is here, and they are somewhat stuck with him.
they've made a few under-the-radar moves to bolster the bullpen depth. Do you see any of these guys they've picked up in recent weeks being somebody that can be a key part of that bullpen going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Wilson is a decent lefty who's had some up-and-down performance and is probably better than anyone they had pitching from the left side the last couple of years. You've got the Bailey Horns and the Brennan Bernardinos and guys like that. There's more of a track record of success and the ability to miss bats on Wilson's from Wilson's standpoint. You know, they also brought in Aroldis Chapman, who I don't think is going to close, but at least give them another power arm from the left side late in the game. So I think they could use another big bullpen arm, and I would advise them to be more aggressive with Tanner Scott, even as there are reports that he's looking for, you know, $20 million a year for 4 or 5 years. He's not gotten that yet, obviously. He's still out there. But that's another move I think the Red Sox should make and, you know, come in and flex their muscle a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be a $700 million outlay for Juan Soto, but, you know, you can come in and spend for Bregman and spend for Scott and be in pretty good shape heading into spring training if you're willing to, you know, open the checkbook a little bit.
Sean McAdam of Mass Live. Sean, appreciate it. Good stuff as always. And again, thanks for all your contributions to the show. We always love talking with you and look forward to doing it with you again in the brave new world of podcasts or whatever else we've got going.
Well, I'm always available for you, Rich. I've always enjoyed being on the show. It's smart. It treats the listener with respect. You have great guests, me notwithstanding. And I look forward to reuniting on another platform.
You got it. Thank you again, Sean.
Thanks, Rich.
Sean McAdam with us on Downtown.